Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, everyone. How are you? Welcome to Your Voice Radio Network. Sorry, we're just doing a studio show today. As you can tell, if you're listening in, you can kind of hear that my voice, I woke up coughing and sinusy and coughing so hard I put my back out. So I was not going to do a video for us this morning. Just enjoy the radio show. Call in to the studio. 929-477-2779. Kind of stop there for a second. 929-477-2779. This is your host, Trish McKnight, with Topics with Trish, coming to you from the Your Voice Radio Network. And I got to tell you, every time I do a broadcast, I am really just so honored to be part of this team. I have hosts that have similar passions and similar experiences and, teaming up with different people to bring forth different kinds of information. And the conversations that I have out in the community and things like that, it's a hope. It's a hope that something, are we ever going to be able to change our human behaviors and our learned beliefs about the maltreatment and the injustices against other people? Never. I don't see it ever coming to a complete end, that's for sure. And more often than not, the most vulnerable place for anyone is inside their home, whether you be an adult or a child. It's just much easier to abuse and manipulate a child than it is going up against another adult. So sometimes a person who you may never think of harming another soul may be a different type of person inside their home. Maybe they work with law enforcement. Maybe they are on part of the EMT squad. Maybe they are the church minister. Maybe they are your best friend in the world and you think you know absolutely everything about them. But when you leave their home, you don't know what goes on inside there. It could be simple intimidation and bullying. And if you think about it, there's a lot of parents that use those intimidation and bullying tactics. We lose our patience and we go off on the deep end sometimes. That happens. We're all human. The problem is, how do you deal with it after that? Do you talk and explain? Or if you realize that maybe, whoa, I really did go too far, do you get some help? Do you try to encourage your child on a regular basis and encourage them to take part of different exciting things in the community, things at school? Are you encouraging to get out and to build their own life and to live their own life? Or are you restricting everything they know, see, and learn by what you want them to know? Well, if you are, that is in and of itself its own form of abuse. It's just like isolating a domestic violence victim. There's still one person who is being dominated over and being kept inside for who knows what reason. Maybe you are a single parent and you've got an infant child, and we all know how difficult infants can be. And, I'm telling you now, when you get to that point that screaming baby is going to drive you insane and you're liable to do something stupid, put that screaming baby down on the floor or down in their crib and walk away, even if it's for only 15 minutes. You walking away and letting them cry for 15 minutes, they will wear themselves out. Yeah, you want to stay close enough that if something, they start, you know, something happens, you can get to them quick enough. But yet, you know, you don't just want to completely ignore them. But you got to let them scream sometimes. You got to let them cry. Cry it out, get tired, go to sleep, give you a break so that you don't do something much, much worse. Letting a baby cry, so long as it's not an everyday, all day kind of thing, you're not going to wound that child. You know, so please do not be afraid to walk away from that child and a toddler. Their room should be safety proof anyway, right? Dressers mounted to the walls and light sockets covered up and that kind of thing. A safe bed that isn't too far off the floor. So put them in their room for time out and sit outside the door and cry if you need to, because it's frustrating work to be a parent, especially of a young child. You got to keep your cool when you're potty training. You got to keep your cool when you're bathing. You got to keep your cool when you're feeding, because those are the issues that if it's a repeated type of behavior whenever you're doing them, they're going to have problems with those issues whenever they grow up. It could lead to an eating disorder. It could lead to being afraid of water. It could lead to all types of different little tweaks and twerks, you know. Who knows, maybe that's the psyche of where some of our phobias come from, is that it's an incident, you know. That's what most of the psychologists and psychiatrists would have us believe anyway. So I believe in walking away from a child before you do something that might become worse for that child. So this is Child Abuse Prevention Month, and we've been doing a series of programs with the video feed in our radio group, and I want to encourage everyone to join us there. Anyone that follows our programming, please, you can join the Facebook radio group, and we invite all kinds of, you know, share your book in there, promote your stuff. You know, we're not going to ban you from marketing. Now, if you come in there and you're marketing sunglasses or purses, you know, if it's not some type of like a survivor art or a addiction art or something like that, then, yeah, you may indeed very well get banned. But, you know, it's an open group, and we welcome everyone. Just visit Facebook.groups. Facebook.com/group/YourVoiceRadio2017. Your Voice Radio 2017 Facebook groups. Public, anyone can, you know, you don't have to be a member. We just like to see, you know, that our members are there, you know. But if you want to do something, please do. We encourage that. So anyway, as I was talking about our host, I want to remind everyone that our shows are now Monday nights, Dr. Amelia Rose brings the Dr. Rose Show. Tuesdays and Thursdays, I will be here with you at 10 a.m. Central Time with Topics with Trish. Most often, we do video feeds that go through our Facebook group. And then every Wednesday now, Tunanas at Noon are going to be broadcasting, and that's Lee Roberts and Donna Shear, who have a wide variety of topics, and they are disability advocates, and they are animal rights advocates, and they have an organization that they are growing, a nonprofit that they're growing and developing, looking into developing different apps for the website Advocates United for the number four humanity, Advocates United for Humanity. So, okay, let's get on with the show. I don't want to talk, waste too much time because I don't know how long my voice is going to be able to hang on. In our episode info, I put out there, you know, why does a child or anyone deny harmful or neglectful actions against them? You know, it really seems that they wouldn't want to protect the person who's harming them, right? And, you know, but sadly, whether you are talking adult victims or violence, of violence or a child of violence or sexual harm, more often than not, they are going to deny abuse. Way too often the problem is that, you know, if we're adults, we feel that societal pressure, that judgment, that shame of being somebody's victim and stepping out of the shadows to get help for ourselves or for our kids, all right? So we kind of stay in the relationship. We love that person. We've built a life with that person. We depend on that person. So more often than not, as adults, we will try to stick it out and try to fix it. Women are always fixers of other human beings. You know, we rarely work on fixing ourselves, but we can take care of and try to fix everyone else. So we believe that, you know, hey, we will stay there. We will fix this. We will help them understand that, you know, harming me is wrong, and I will help them through whatever trauma they've gone through and so on and so forth. But the truth is that you can't fix someone else's disability or rage or vengeance. They have to fix it themselves. So why will a child deny that abuse is going on, whether it be a little child or a 16-year-old child? Why will they deny what's going on? A little child, a young child, will absolutely, you know, become so in tune and so very much used to the abuse that they think it is, you know, they think it's justified. Their behavior warrants the spanking or the slap across the face. Their behavior warrants these different things, so they will repeatedly make sure that they're not doing this behavior again, and you know, if they can figure out what that behavior is. And then if they're getting really abused, they're getting punished and getting hit, but not for any one type of behavior, but for multiple types of disruptions. Even just talking or asking a simple question can lead to being grounded, or it can lead to being, you know, something else. So, you know, we really have to watch out for those families around us and what might be going on. I always encourage you to do that. So when a young child, as I said, they will repeatedly try to fix it. They don't know the societal judgments yet. They don't know that being a victim is some kind of shameful word, and it makes us seem weak. And it doesn't ever put that blame. You know, if somebody murders someone, the murderer gets blamed. If somebody robs someone, that burglar gets blamed. If someone damages your vehicle, if someone damages, gets you fired at work, or someone causes you not to get a promotion, you know, that person is likely to get called out on it, right? However, way too often, whenever we are someone's home victim, whether we are their child, extreme physical abuse victim, or if we are their, even worse, their sexual abuse victim, if we are their wife or girlfriend or boyfriend or husband, who are getting beat on all the time or getting controlled or being psychologically manipulated and degraded. You know, those are the things that we get blamed. Even if you are a young child, you still get blamed. How? It's still a stigma in our very modern society. And I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday about the issues of, you know, sexual abuse and trafficking and that kind of thing. And, you know, he made a statement. He says, you know, it's been going on forever. And I said, yeah, it's been going on back since the Romans held the Jews captive and slaves and or whatever. And he's like, nope, way before that. When you think about it, it did. It absolutely did. It's been going on since there's been more than two human beings on this earth. Let's put it that way. Somebody had to be dominant over someone. Man created, man wrote the Bible. And different Bibles have different versions. I'm one of those people that I very much believe in the good Lord and God's creation of our earth. And, you know, the beauty of it. Okay, yeah, you know, there may have been a scientific universal explosion that happened, but that didn't make the trees grow or make all of these different kinds of insects. That did not make the different biological changes in man and woman. I'm not sure what did, but, you know, I like to believe in the spirits that carry us and protect us and watch over us and Mother Earth and that kind of thing. But anyway, going back to these kids, you know, they, when we think of our human behaviors and our human beliefs, this is 2017, and we have to change the way that we see and handle and help in these types of situations. Young children will protect mom and dad, no doubt. A teenager will protect mom and dad. They will blame somebody else for something that's happened to them, without a doubt. They might say that Uncle Joe or Aunt Susie or Bob the neighbor or, you know, whatever. They may accuse the coach, they may accuse a teacher, they may accuse a friend. They are going to accuse anyone else except for the person who's doing it. Now, they may say something objectively, as in, you know, well, what if I told you that I was being hurt? What would you do? If they're talking to a very, very close friend. And they may talk about it as if it's someone else. They know somebody, but they won't talk specifically because what's going to happen to their family? What's going to happen to what they know, the life that they know, the life that they depend on? Young children know that to get fed and to have some place to sleep and some place out of the weather and the cold and the heat, they need their parents. They can't make those things on their own. Okay, now a teenager, an early teen, knows that they cannot go out and what are they going to do to be able to provide these kinds of things for themselves? They have the logical sense sometimes, but they don't quite have, pardon me, I told you I was getting some bronchitis. I think last Thursday I told you that, and it just progressively getting worse. Anyway. But they don't project the harm that's happening inside their home because if, in fact, they have their home, then they have some sense of belonging and some sense of safety. By the time they get to be 10, 11, 12 years old, they've talked to someone in their school or they've heard rumors about someone in their school who maybe is homeless, or is maybe their family's having to eat at the shelter every night, or maybe the child themselves has been removed from their home. Maybe they're having to live with their grandparents now. Maybe they're having to live with their aunt and uncle now, or maybe they're having to live in a DCF protected. They've just been outrooted from their school and their friends and everything else completely, and they are in fact trapped in this very neglectful and very destructive foster care system where all types of horrible things are happening. The people may pass background checks and go through trainings and school to do the kind of work that they're doing in the foster care system, but and the judges and the courts can only go by what our laws allow. They can't go creating something that isn't already written in law unless they're willing to set precedent. So, we have to figure that children will lie about these types of actions to protect their safety, to protect their survival. They may not realize how bad these things are until they get to be about 11 or 12 years old, when they start getting their own mind and they start, no matter how much you beat them, you're not going to be able to take their free mind. It doesn't mean, they may tolerate some of the things that you do, but when they are away from you, trust me, their little anger buttons are there, and they get short temper fuses, and they have problems dealing with things around them in society as a whole, and little things set them off, and their behaviors then become negative towards society, and what happens is that they end up in the system or having the addiction problems or being medicated or seeing a psychiatrist. So if you're doing these things and you think that you can control every second of your young child's life, think again, because you absolutely cannot. You cannot take their mind. Everyone has free thought and free will, free choice. So you're making a choice and you are taking on free will. I don't care what your past has done to you. There is no excuse for hurting or molesting or sexually abusing or trafficking or harming or causing injustice to another human being, no matter how old they are, no matter where they come from. Yeah, I stand strong on that. I firmly believe in that. I don't care if it's the great white whale or if it's the dog down the street or if it's the cat roaming the neighborhood or if it's a little mouse running around in your house or if it's, a fly on the wall. I'm sorry. I'm guilty because flies drive me insane. Can't stand them, diseases and what have you. But until we change our beliefs about the dominance of mankind and put our women and our sons and our daughters equally deserving and giving, where the family is united, until we can try to encourage working together as a single family unit, it's going to be kind of hard to expect change within any community or neighborhood or society. I'm sitting here on the radio and I'm looking out at six different houses from my bedroom window. There's no telling what's going on inside those homes. I want to think the best because the yards are all pristine and, the home's fairly clean on the outside. So, yeah, I want to think the very best, right? I have no clue. I have no clue what their past life has been. I have no clue the struggles they've been through. I have no clue of what they're dealing with right now or what they may be facing tomorrow. We have no clue. We have no clue what might be setting off something in the home. And kids can be so easily manipulated and shamed into believing that no one cares, no one's going to help you. You're not supposed to take your business outside of this house. You are not supposed to talk about what goes on inside your home. You are not supposed to go telling people what I'm doing to you because, you know, these pictures I took of you, I'm going to show them to everyone. Or, you know, that habit that you do all the time, I'm going to tell everyone. You know that, you know, there are many, many ways to intimidate a child. They're already dependent. Now, by the time they get to be 15 and maybe doing some part-time work, making their own money, maybe they're getting fed up with you. By the time they get to be 16 and they can legally work and they can legally drive, they know that there's things, if they've got the willpower to go out there and do it, there are resources that they can go to that will help them. A school guidance counselor can put them in touch with the very best services to help them. In fact, you know, the bad part about going to a counselor or a police officer or DCFS is that, okay, what's going to happen if they're not going to help me? And I, you know, even whenever you are an adult inside a violent home, and the police get called by a neighbor and they show up at your door, and you are denying anything at all, whether it's, you know, yelling at your kids or, you know, you and your spouse fighting or whatever it may be that's going on, and you're denying all, no, he doesn't hit me, or no, she doesn't hit me, or whatever. It's because of fear of the unknown. What's going to happen? What's going to happen when all of this blows up? Are they really going to help you? Are you going to have to stay and continue to deal with these types of things? Are you going to have to depend? Who's going to take care of you? Who's going to feed you? Who's going to give you a place to sleep? You're going to have to step into the ring. Are you going to have to go into a foster care system? Are you going to end up with a family that you don't even know? Are you going to have to relocate, leave your friends, leave everything that you know and go stay with somebody else? Happens every single day, 100 times a day, you know, to where kids are denying abuse and victims are denying. They will turn to other resources. They will turn to other topics. They will pretend. They pretend very, very well. You may see them, and they don't want you to see their bruises, so they're going to cover them up. They don't want you to see that they're struggling, so they maybe they are very attentive in school, or maybe they are very attentive with their friends, seem very happy when they're with their friends. Maybe it's the best time of their life whenever they're with their friends, just like any other kid. You know, it's their time out of the house. They don't want to worry about it. They don't want to think about it. You know, there's many, many things that can happen that can keep a kid from talking about harm that's happening inside their home. Now, I put out there that our chat room is open. As of yet, you know, I don't see any chatters. And, you know, I'm sure with everyone used to being seeing the video out there and being able to interact with the video and like the videos and share them, I really, really appreciate that. I know that these topics get, number one, they get dark. There's nothing cheery. There's, you know, we keep harping on these dark subjects. you know, it's not that. It is that it is Child Abuse Prevention Month, Sexual Assault Awareness Month. You know, but it's also, let's see, Autism Awareness Month, and it's also, there's some type of, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You know, that all the Relay for Life are going on. So, you know, we have these causes and we have these awareness months because they're issues that we really need to get behind. And, you know, I've been doing this for about 6 years now, I guess. And it amazes me. You know, how long did it take Relay for Life just to really get going and become what it is? How long did it take and how did they get started the autism awareness? And how long did it take? We've been doing, you know, child abuse prevention for a very, very long time. Domestic violence awareness and prevention, a very long time. It is is something that is really difficult to understand as to why it's not a major issue for our society, why we have to keep sounding like we are preaching to the choir and hope that one day, you know, there's going to be, you know, everybody's putting their books out there and everybody's doing talk shows and but still, mainstream media, unless you're paying out the big bucks, you know, a story may make headlines for a couple of days and then it's gone. It's no longer news and it is gone. So, you know, unless we get these cases in our areas to be recognized, there's a case coming up in Clinton County Courthouse where I live, that is some very severe child abuse, a hospitalized child who was also sexually and brutally attacked over a period of time. And, you know, it's a case that I'm concerned about. It's a case that I want to know what they're going to do about this. It may take a year for this to come to trial. You know, it may take lots and lots of time for this to come to trial. And I got to tell you, it's really ridiculous that we cannot get enough attention and enough mainstream media to these very serious topics, because our kids are going to live and do as they see us do. So they're going to learn from our actions and our behaviors better than anything else. So if we are denying and pretending and acting as if nothing's going on, then, you know, it's just like the first time your kid says a cuss word. If you ignore it and you don't make a big deal out of that word, it's not going to be a big deal for them. You know, things pop out of babies' mouths, and sometimes, you know, you will hear them say things, and, you know, but sometimes it takes you to ask a direct question before you get a firm answer on what's going on. I know of a little girl that was beaten very badly with a belt along her rib cage, and, you know, until she was actually asked, then, you know, it was like nobody knew. And then as soon as she was asked, she was able to clearly say what happened. And, you know, she since had to be relocated, you know, to live with family that she never ever lived with before. So, you know, it's a big shock for her. Then, you know, I know of a young man who had to relocate and learned some really, really bad behaviors, and has some really bad anxiety issues over the slightest little thing, you know, not just because he's an early teenager and going through changes, but also because, you know, he's going through all this other crap as well, and he's learning to quote unquote live in a normal home. And he's learning to communicate with friends and behave with certain friends and all of that kind of thing. So, you know, our kids will show some signs, but they will usually cover up more than they will expose. So when you, as an adult, see something or get a gut feeling about something, that means that you need to pay attention and you need to quantify the total of things that you're seeing. Is it just a shy kid, or are there numbers of signs? Distress and hygiene and behaviors and lying and, you know, maybe they're an early teen and you see drug use and grades declining and bad behaviors in school or personality, mental health problems that maybe you think are showing up. You know, quantify what you see. What does your knowledgeable, quantifiable totals give you? Is there enough to quantify that there are traumatic childhood experiences going on, and that in fact someone needs to intervene, or is it that the family needs help? Is there an addiction that you know of? Maybe somebody lost a job. Maybe there's been a death in the family. Is there a reason? Maybe a child has come to live with them that comes from a harmful home. You know, there can be a lot of reasons, but we never know until we start asking questions. And a child will deny more often than they will tell unless they've been seriously hurt and you are actually asking the questions. So more so than anything else in Child Abuse Prevention Month, remember, don't be afraid to ask, what happened to your child? How can I help you? Is something going on? Do you need someone to talk to? All right. We're going to close it down early on the show today because it is just a studio broadcast without the video feed and my voice. I can hear my cough starting to kick in again. So I'm going to go ahead and call it quits. I know it's only been a 40-minute broadcast. I apologize. Absorb the information, though, and listen to it on your time. You can click this link at www.blogtalkradio.com/yourvoiceradio at any single time to listen to these programs. And remember our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/yourvoiceradio2017. Remember that mommy and daddy can be the absolute best thing for a child, but mommy and daddy can also have some of their own things going on that are causing them to be harmful towards their kids. A lot of that can be our centuries-old beliefs and behaviors that keep repeating themselves from generation to generation to generation. So, you know, keywords is teach your child. Break that cycle. Don't become like me. Become better than me. All right. That does it. Have a great day, everyone. God bless. Enjoy this change to springtime weather, even with our allergies. Peace out, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.